the 11th of 11 sessions on Mishlei. After this, we are off for the next couple of Tuesdays. We resume the Tuesday after Pesach, and at that point, God willing, we will be talking about Koheles, which will be very exciting and take us basically to the end of June. So that's the agenda. Originally, I had said June 27th would be the last class, because I've always liked running these classes to the end of June. But I think I have to take my son to camp that day. So I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen with the 27th. We'll figure it out. We will learn Koheles one way or another. So last time round, we learned chapter 13, this particular passage in chapter 13 that deals with reward and punishment. And the, one of the things that we hit was the issue of corporal punishment for children. And I brought a lot of sources, which are here on the sheet, as they were last week, to talk about the issue of corporal punishment and Mishlei's impact on halacha in that regard. But I also want to look at Eishes Chayil today. And, you know, that's kind of a must if you're learning Mishlei. So I'm not sure exactly how we're going to handle everything. I'm going to do the best I can to get everything in, and we'll see how it goes. Everyone has the source sheets? Okay. So what we saw was chapter 13, sentence 24, in which we were told, Chosech Shivto Sone Bino. If somebody spares the rod, he hates his kid, which could mean that you think you're demonstrating love for the child by not hitting them, but actually it's a function of hate, or we suggested it could mean it will lead someone to hate his kid because he's going to hate the way the kid turns out as a result of the lack of this kind of discipline. Va'ohavo, and the one who loves his kid, shicharo musar, which we gave different explanations for, but one explanation is he rebukes him, he gives him instruction every morning. The question is, are we really meant to believe that we are supposed to engage in physical punishment of our kids? So I saw an article, which I gave you a link for in source number one, from a fellow named Benjamin Shmueli in the Jewish Law Annual, called Corporal Punishment of Children in Jewish Law. He really, really wants to believe that this isn't about corporal punishment at all. That's a misunderstanding. He argues that what this is about is discipline overall. And the argument that he makes is that the word shevet does not have to mean rod, but rather it can mean authority. Like when Yaakov says, Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, the scepter will not leave the tribe of Judah. It means that authority is going to be in the tribe of Judah. So he really, really wants to believe that that's what we're talking about. But honestly, while I respect his desire, it's just not consistent with Mishlei. If you take a look at source number two on the sheet, I refer you to a whole bunch of passages in Mishlei. Chapter 19, sentence 18 says, I'm going to do a quick translation of it into English. You can see the Hebrew in your books. Rebuke your son because there is hope, but not to the point of killing him. I don't think that's talking about, you know, regular discipline. I just don't. Chapter 22, sentence 15, it says, foolishness is tied to the heart of a na'ar, of a youth. The rod of rebuke will distance it from him. Same word, shevet, that was used here. Chapter 23, sentences 13 and 14. Do not keep rebuke from a youth. When you strike him with the rod, he will not die. It sure sounds like hitting to me. The term in Hebrew is takenu. And in the next sentence, ataba shevet takenu, you with the shevet, with the rod, will strike him, and you will save him from the grave by doing so. Chapter 29, sentence 15. The shevet, the rod, and rebuke will give wisdom, whereas a youth who is sent left to his own devices will dismay his mother. So, I'm sorry to Benjamin Shmueli, but it seems fairly clear that Mishlei, on the whole, is a fan of the use of the rod in the most literal sense. However, some important howevers. First of all, this doesn't necessarily mean that hitting is an obligation. The fact, first of all, that Mishlei needs to say over and over again in chapter 13, in chapter 19, in chapter 22, in chapter 23, in chapter 29, that they support this, right? The fact that Shlomo is willing to say, I support this, multiple times, demonstrates that people have been ambivalent about it. If everybody thought this is what you should be doing, you wouldn't need to keep on saying, go ahead, it's not going to kill him, it's good for him, it'll make his mother happy. Like, the fact is that it was an issue with challenges. Number two, it's prescribed in the text specifically for kids with particular types of issues. So that in chapter 19, it's about a kid with anger issues. In chapter 22, it's about a kid who is cynical about wise advice. In chapters 23 and 29, it seems to be about a kid where we believe that his life and his future are in danger. Interestingly, Shmueli brings an idea from Avram ibn Shoshan. Avram ibn Shoshan was a linguist. You may be familiar with his Concordancia. So Ibn Shoshan, according to Shmueli, I don't know where Ibn Shoshan wrote this, actually says, you have to read our sentence more carefully. Go back to chapter 13, sentence 24. 24. He says, the first half of the sentence is about how not to be a sone, how not to be a hater of one's child. And then the second half is how to be a lover of one's child. In other words, the first half of the sentence says, if you want to avoid being a hater of the child, so use the rod. But the second half of the sentence says, it's better to be an ohev. It's better to be a lover of the child by giving the child rebuke as opposed to hitting him. That this is sort of the lower, hitting is the lower level of discipline. So that's worth noting. When you move forward from Tanakh into the realm of Jewish law, you find a much stronger concern about, number one, the parents' motivation, and number two, the fear of causing physical harm. So if you take a look at source number three, you get an example of this. And I'm going to read out my English translation because, as I said in the beginning, we have a lot to cover today. During a famine, someone invited three guests and only had three eggs to set before them. His son came along. One of them took his portion and gave it to him. You have the guest sitting in the house with the host. The host puts out eggs in front of each guest. The guest sees the kid and says, oh, I'm taking the kid's food. So he hands off the egg to the kid. The second and third did likewise. Then the father comes back. His father came and found him holding one egg in his mouth and two in his hands. He struck the child to the ground and he died. Message, warning to the parent, you know, you think that your kid has done something wrong and you're striking him, look at what that can actually cause. And Rabbi Akiva Eger, writing in the 19th century, maybe late 18th, quotes an excommunication for people who hit their children too much, whatever too much means. And it seems to be based on source number four, about Amsa Devei Rebbe. The Talmud has various places in which it talks about women who worked in the household of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe, who was the canonizer of the Mishnah, and the wisdom that they imparted. So here you get the following story. Rebbe's maid saw a man striking his mature son. She said, let him be banned for violating, do not put a stumbling block before the blind. Meaning, if you hit an adult, what's going to happen next? What happens next? He hits you back, exactly. You're muted, but I read lips perfectly. You hit an adult, the adult can hit you back. So you are putting a stumbling block in the way of your child if your child has already reached that age and you hit the kid. So Rebbe's maid said that such a person should be banned for doing so. I don't care that it's with the goal of education. So you get this argument in response, even though Mishlei seems to be in favor with some concern about motivations. But the Talmud here, the Gemara here, has deep concerns. And that takes you into the Rambam. If you take a look at source number 5, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, where he talks about personality, he says, anger is a very bad trait, and it will be appropriate for a person to distance himself from it to the opposite extreme. The Rambam is a believer in the idea overall that one should follow the golden mean, right? The Aristotelian idea. You're supposed to be in the middle of the road, except in two traits. When it comes to anger and when it comes to arrogance. There he wants you to crush them. So he says, when it comes to anger, go the opposite way. One should teach himself not to grow angry, even at something which warrants anger. Even if it's something that, you know, people say, oh, you should be angry about, no, don't get angry. If he wishes to install awe in his children, household, community, if he is a leader, in order to restore good conduct, then he should act as though he is angry in order to rebuke them, but his mind should be internally calm. He's very worried about the undisciplined person. He's very worried about the angry person, the person who is simply trying to subjugate others. And so he writes in source number 6, in the laws of wounding, you're not allowed to wound anybody, you're not allowed to strike anybody in the manner of nitzayon. Nitzayon, if you're doing it in order to demonstrate power over them, that is not allowed. If you take a look at source number 7, he says, they introduced, this is in the Hilchos Talmud Torah, the laws of Torah study, he says, they introduce the children to be taught at the age of 6 or 7 based on the child's strength and constitution. The teacher hits them to instill awe, but he does not strike them as an enemy cruelly. Therefore, he should not strike with whips or rods, but with a small strap. That's his compromise. Now, it's indisputable that the Rambam believes in some form of striking. He's putting limits in terms of the motivation. He's putting limits in terms of the harm one might cause. But at the same time, he's clearly Mishlei influenced. He clearly does believe that this is an appropriate approach. But then I want to fast forward you from 12th century Egypt to the modern age and what halachic authorities said. So first of all, in source number 8, the Taz. The Taz is not the modern age. The Taz is, I think, 17th century. And he says the following. Number 8. It appears to me that we should distinguish between one who strikes to save someone from an attacker and one who strikes to keep a Jew from sinning. We do not exempt the latter from liability unless it is entirely clear that there was no other way to do this. He's not necessarily talking about a parent, actually. He's talking about striking in general. And he says the only way this will be permitted is if all other options have been exhausted. Now we do 20th century. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Feinstein, of course, we know, was raised in Russia and then moved to the United States. So in sources 9 and 10... he says, first of all, a teacher who is permitted to punish can only do it if he knows for sure what happened, not if he simply suspects wrongdoing. He says, it may only be for something which the student clearly did, which warrants punishment. and not for mere suspicion. Even if he has good reason to think that the youth did it, it is not possible for anyone to depend on his own great intelligence and punish in any way without clear knowledge from witnesses. Even for something worth a pruta, a minimal coin, we require witnesses. Certainly physical punishment, which is worth more than money. If you need witnesses in order to get somebody to pay a dime, you certainly need to have proof in order to cause physical harm. So he's willing to accept it, but he says the teacher has to know for sure what happened. And then in source number 10, he says it has to not simply be punishment, it has to be educational. So that he writes, the Rambam wrote in our edition that one who hits in the manner of Nitzayon violates a prohibition. This sounds like striking in a non-Nitzayon way is not prohibited. We talked about this. This is because the prohibition against adding, alright, let me explain where he's going, because actually this needs background. The Torah's prohibition against hitting somebody else comes from the passage regarding lashes. The Torah says that a Beit Din, a rabbinical court, can give lashes, up to 39 lashes. It's evaluated by a doctor and so on. This is not talking about kids. This is talking about a person who violates the law with witnesses and a warning and the whole bit. So the rule, though, is the Torah says you may not add to that. They can't go beyond their mandate. And that's how we know you're not allowed to hit somebody, because even the rabbinical court has a prohibition against adding. So Rabbi Feinstein writes, that's all regarding punishment for the past. When it comes to punishment for the past, you're not allowed to hit. Rather, it has to be to educate, in order to educate for the future. So what you're seeing is that that there's a strong influence of the Mishlei ideology. I should have said this probably 15 minutes ago. I am not proposing supporting hitting kids. As someone who raised four kids, I can't remember any time where I hit a kid. I may not have done a good job, but that's another story. I'm trying to show you that halachic authorities have been guardedly in favor, and I think a lot of it stems from the fact that Mishlei supports it. Now, I have not brought you the views of those who oppose. There are those who oppose it and say, no, this is not appropriate. But I will note that there has been a lot of concern that's separate from the whole Mishlei discussion. So that in source number 11, I brought you a passage from Maseches Samachos, which is one of the small and added sections of the Talmud, in which the father indicates his anger to his child and so intimidates him that the child throws himself into a pit. If you take a look at source number 12, Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, I see your hand, Susan. I'm just going to go through this section first. Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch says the following, and he's in the beginning of the 19th century. Only the better student will respond to praise or criticism, and the nature of his response will depend very much on the training and treatment he has received at home. We would certainly be the last to support corporal punishment in school. Indeed, we would be very much inclined to believe that a teacher who cannot cope with the everyday problems of school life without resorting to physical chastisement is in the wrong profession. But regardless of what is done in school, if thrashings are the order of the day at home, if the child has become accustomed to take criticism seriously only if he feels it upon his body, if he will listen to verbal admonition only if he sees the rod looming in the background, then the home has deadened the child's sense of morality. Such a child will hardly give his teacher's words of criticism at school the attention they deserve. So Rabbi Hirsch says, kids need to learn ethics, not fear of force. If you intimidate them into proper behavior, there's going to be a very limited, they get a very limited moral education, and it's not going to help them long term. They need to learn ethics, not fear. The last case, the last source that I brought here in number 13, and again, I'm racing because I really wanted to get to Eishes Chaya. But the last source that I brought here is from Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, a Holocaust survivor, and a responsum that he wrote in 1964. He actually lived during the war in Berlin. That's a whole story. But he was asked a question by a father who wanted to keep his son from magic tricks. Meaning the kid had a hobby of magic tricks. And the father said, it keeps him from learning and it keeps him with a bad crowd. So the father wants to discipline the kid. So Rabbi Weinberg says, source number 13, for pedagogic reasons, one should avoid force with a child who strays from the well-trod path. You already mentioned in the question the prohibition against striking an older child. And you were right. That is beyond striking, and it applies to all means of force. It can bring results which are the opposite of his desire. It's the opposite of what the parent wants to achieve. Modern pedagogues have already shown that force or use of strength to implement one's wishes awakens greater resistance and rebellion in an older child. So you got to be extremely careful. There's a lot more to say about this, and this is not intended as practical guidance. I'm just trying to show you the way that the debate goes forward from what you see in Mishlei. Yes, Susan.
One thing that I'm wondering about, even in the time of the Mishlei, when you see hitting all the time, you hit. And then you become aggressive.
Yep.
And we're not supposed to be aggressive, and I don't think this is any wisdom that I've got that they wouldn't have had then. So I don't understand how they couldn't see that if they hit, they're going to cause a hit turn.
Right. So it's true. It's definitely true. But I think you're looking at a society that has a different approach, not only in terms of disciplining kids, but a different approach regarding striking altogether. Even though you have a biblical prohibition against wounding others that we've already noted, nonetheless, I think you're looking at a different sort of society, both in terms of tolerance and in terms of policing.
So do we say today to teachers, because when I went to school, there was a lot of hitting by certain teachers.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
There was tons, and it really affected many children, turned them off, and went to date associated. And I want to know, what the hell, okay, this is Mishlei. What do the rabbis that people follow say today?
Today they do not recommend it. Today, in the schools that I am familiar with, it is not recommended. There's a lot more halachic material that I left on the cutting room floor for this class.
Could you send us some of it? I'd like to know.
Yeah, if I get a chance, maybe I will do that, because I do have a lot more. So maybe if I get a chance between now and Pesach, I'll send more material on it. That's a fair ask. Okay, what I'm going to ask for comments now is just, with due respect, no comments about how we were hit when we were raised, about whether by parents or by teachers, because we just don't have the time for the personal accounts. Yes, Janine. You're muted.
I don't know what to do about the one that talks about hitting with the shevet, but in the Tanakh Tokef, we say ma'avir tzono tachat shivto.
Yeah.
It's more strong discipline, firm guidance.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily mean hitting, except that one pasuk that talks about hitting.
Right. Number one, you have the pasuk that talks about it. Number two, you have the other pasuk that says, use the shevet, don't worry that it might kill him. So that one also.
Or don't kill him. I wonder.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you might,
But Ma'avir Tzono Tachas Shivto is an entirely different pasuk. That's talking about counting them one by one. That's what that is a reference to.
But guiding them through those, from one place to the other. I'm saying it could be
No, but it's not. It's not a guidance sense at all. It's off of the pasuk in with Meiser Behema. Kol asher ya'avor tachas hashavet ha'asiri ye'kodesh l'Hashem. Mabir tzono tachas shivta was not about guiding them. It's about counting them. So I wouldn't bring proof from there. I respect the desire to take this out of a hidden context altogether. It would make it a lot easier for me if that were so. I just don't think it's correct. I think Mishle is in favor, with all the difficulties that we've noted notwithstanding. I think that's what emerges from the text. And I think, I'm not going to go with that which I find appealing. I'm going to go with what I think it actually is saying. So again, I don't think any of us should be hitting kids. God forbid. I really don't think that is warranted for a whole host of reasons, some of which have been mentioned already. I think there are better ways to discipline and to educate. Could there be an exception to the rule? Sure. The kid who runs into the street when he's 2 years old and needs a sudden shock, you don't hit the kid in a way that's going to actually harm them. You hit them in a way that's going to shock them. Just that they should understand this is not an option until they're old enough to absorb the message in other ways. But that's, that's reserved for running into traffic, sticking fingers in an outlet. Like, that's not for, they threw their food on the floor. Okay. There's more we could say. I see your hand, Ricky. Is it a must? Okay, thank you. So I'm gonna move us over to Eish HaTzchayil, because I really wanted us to get a chance to talk about that, and I'm worried that we're not gonna spend any time on it.